Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business. Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is Ray Perry at Educating for Success coming to you from somewhere on I-85. I am on my way to a tea party with a friend of mine this weekend, and it is going to be an awesome experience. But in the meantime, I think it's so cool that I can be talking to you on my cell phone and encouraging you to learn how to use social media to improve your business. I have with me as a co-host today one of my best friends and my social media expert and a former student who is now turned teacher who is also on the highway somewhere, not in San Antonio, Texas, Jennifer Navarrete. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks, Ray. You know, I am driving from San Antonio to Houston because tomorrow I am going to be doing a live event using social media to share the event as well as to teach students about how they can use social media to promote their teams and some of the same community outreach that they are doing. And that really ties a lot into what we've been trying to share this week in that, you know, social media can really be an impactful piece of what you're doing. And even if it's not maybe for your business, but it's something that you believe in, you can go and show support by, you know, taking video or taking photos or interviewing folks or even tweeting or doing a Facebook post about what you're doing. And it's a really great way to share some of that ongoing messaging and kind of promote the things that you believe in.
That is awesome. And the tools have changed so much in the last few years and even gotten more simple because you can actually do so much of what we want to do with social media right from your smartphone, as we've been talking about all week. So, Jennifer, I want to just ask you a few more questions because we didn't cover everything that I really wanted to talk about this week as we were talking about social media and using it for marketing. One of the popular things to use right now is Facebook Live. So I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about that, how to use it. Is it a good thing? Is it safe? Just tell us more about Facebook Live.
Absolutely. So Facebook Live is a way for you to, in the app, within a group, within your business page, within your personal profile, to create live video. You can do it where the camera is facing you, where, you know, it's a headshot, or you can do it where the camera's facing out so that you're looking at, you know, the scenery, the audience, or an event that you're at. But the cool thing about it is you can actually do both in a single live stream. You can start out maybe introducing what you're doing as the talking head and then switch the camera midstream and go out to show everyone what you're doing. If you're interviewing someone, you can go back and forth in that way. And it's really, really quite a powerful tool. It's becoming more and more a part of what makes Facebook special. And I have to say that some of the things that are coming down the line for Facebook Live is going to be group chat. So it's really going to be a place for you to have a co-host on video that you can go back and forth all on the Facebook platform. So if you've been sitting on the sidelines and you're not quite sure if Facebook Live is for you, start testing it out. You can always test it out privately before you feel, if you're not ready for prime time, test it out privately, kind of beta test it out, see how it works, try the switching the camera back and forth, get a sense of lighting, get a sense of audio, and just, you know, just test it out. Take it out for a test drive, and you might find that you like what you see, and it's going to become more and more a part of how folks share their messaging. The fact is that videos do get seen a lot more than a text update or even a photo update or even a link update. The videos are really starting to gain a lot of attention, and that trend is not going to diminish anytime soon. It's only going to increase.
Wow. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Periscope, too.
So Periscope is Twitter's version of Facebook Live, and actually Periscope was around before. Facebook Live is more recent. But if you're on Twitter and you want to do a quick video live update, say you have an app called Periscope, and so you use that, and it automatically tweets and says, hey, I'm live right now, and here's the link to watch it. So that's a really great way to, you know, connect with your Twitter audience if you have one. And it's a really great way if you're part of an event and you're using a hashtag to kind of be part of that conversation. So either way, whichever platform you want to use, I definitely recommend it. There are other things like Snapchat. You know, there are other tools that are out there. Ustream has a live. Even YouTube has live, and it goes beyond it. There are lots of live platforms out there, but you want to start off with the ones that have the most built-in audience and then perhaps find the one that could benefit your niche just a little bit more.
That's great. Thank you. So here's one of the things that I've heard commonly said by parents lately. You know, one of the things that we do is we try to encourage people to start home businesses, and we even encourage young people to do that even before they're 18 years old. They can own a business before they're 18 where they can't necessarily go out and have a full-time job. So if they're starting a business and they're trying to use social media to market it, which everybody should, what are some of the dangers that we should watch out for as parents with minors on these types of social media platforms?
You know, that's a really good question, Ray, because Facebook is constantly changing their privacy settings. And so let's say a year or two ago you went through the process of locking down your Facebook page or your child's Facebook page, and you wanted to make sure that everything was good, and so you're like, great, I'm done, you know, check it off the list. But the fact is that, you know, social media is not a set it and forget it. It's like a baby or a puppy that needs to be watched, monitored, nourished, fed, and so you have to go and take a look at it. And just recently, Facebook changed their algorithm again, which changed settings. So you'll want to go back in pretty regularly just to see what changes have occurred and make those updates. It's up to you. It's up to us as users to be proactive in making sure that we are as secure as we can be using a platform that's really meant to be dispersed far and wide. So that's the number one thing I would say is go ahead and look at your privacy settings and see what you're doing. Number two, I will say for anyone who's of the age of 13 to under the age of 18, which is 13 to 17, that's better on Facebook, it used to be that the maximum amount of reach that they could have would be friends of friends. What's happened now is that it was a couple years ago, Facebook changed the default setting to public. And if you're not paying attention or you're unaware that now all of a sudden a minor's reach can actually go public, then that's something to take a look at. Go and take a look at your settings. Every single time that you write a post on Facebook, no matter what age you are, you can select who can see that, whether it's, you know, my family list or whether it's a friends list or a city list or an interest list and or whether it's public or friends of friends. Make sure that each time that you post that you're aware of who is going to have the visibility for that. In my case, what I do is that I have creative lists. I have a family list. I have a cycling friends list. I have a San Antonio list. I have a social media list. And it depends on what I'm sharing on who I want to see. So if I'm doing a lot of cycling stuff, not everybody cares about, you know, going on a bicycle and doing cross-country tours, but I have a hardcore group of cycling friends that do. And so I will share certain posts just to that group. Also, when I go on vacation, I'm not blasting that far and wide. I'm letting folks know where I'm going. So I'll probably, if I'm going to be gone for an extended length of time, I may post a few things, but it will be my family list, which is a very tight lockdown list. And then later on, I can go and change some of those settings, you know, after I've come home. So just be aware of, you know, where your post is going and who is going to see it. And we are in control, as users, we're in control of who gets to see what at each step of the journey. So if you go back and you say, ooh, some of those things were public and I really didn't want them to be public, at any time, you can go back and change those privacy settings to kind of minimize who can see it. Now, does that mean that if someone saw it, they can't unsee it? No, it doesn't. But just be aware of the options that are out there to help you control who can see your messaging. So that way, you know, as much as we can try and be safe in a social media space that's meant to be seen far and wide, you know, try and do those things.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, one thing that I have been concerned about is young people who are misusing the Internet altogether. So one of the things that we have talked about before is that if you have a private page of your own, you don't have to put a lot of things out there on it, but you can still maximize the reach that you can have with Facebook by doing other things with it. So just watch your kids if they are on Facebook, and just kind of keep an eye on how things are going, because they can definitely use it for business, but it can get out of hand. So one other thing I wanted to ask you about before we leave Facebook is running Facebook ads. A long time ago, Google started giving us the option of running Google ads and paying for those, and then Facebook came along and it said, oh, we're going to do the same thing. So do Facebook ads and Google ads work?
Yes and no. It really depends on what your goals are. If you just do, like anything else, there needs to be some strategy behind what you're going to do. I mean, it's all fine and dandy to have like a handful of spaghetti and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. But for your hard-earned dollars, you really want to be strategic about it. And so take a look at some of the ads that interest you. I mean, because the ads are in our timeline, they're in the sidebar. What is it that interests you that causes you to click through to see if it's a sponsored ad? And look at how you can model some of those behaviors or some of that messaging for your business. Also, make sure that you have a call to action. It's all fine and dandy, too, for you to say, oh, here's my business. And it's, if you're interested, like my page. It's better off if you're doing something that has that call to action of, I have an event, I have a course, I have a book. You know, if you're someone who does this, is this a challenge that you're facing? You know, the number one, you know, think about those kinds of things so that it's more of a, oh, that's talking to me kind of a thing. And I will say that I probably click on maybe one out of every 10 ads that, you know, come through my wall, that flow through my stream. But those are ads that speak to me, that I know it's a sponsored ad, and I know what I'm clicking through, and I want to learn more. So I pay attention to those behaviors that make me want to click through. Start doing that for yourself, because we all do. We don't click every single ad that comes across our stream, but here and there, something calls to us. So what is it about that? And model some of those behaviors. So it can work for you. You could also be throwing your money away. So just be real strategic. I will say, just as an aside, that I'm part of a group that talks about these kinds of conversations. And there was someone who asked a question and said, at what point, at what level of dollars that I'm spending per month do I get to have a private Facebook advisor who advises me on ads? And I thought, oh, that's really an interesting question. What is that number? Well, this particular group was spending $14,000 a month on ads, and they did not have a Facebook advisor.
Wow.
And so then other people jumped in and said, well, our company was spending $50,000, and somebody else jumped in and said, our company was spending $100,000. And at those levels, you can get a private Facebook advisor to help you with ads. And I thought, wow. So those folks are really spending some serious money. So if you're a small mom and pop, you may think, well, gosh, how can I compete with those kinds of dollars? Well, once again, it's the same wall. We just have to be a little bit smarter. We have to be a little bit more savvy and just, you know, take advantage of being, you know, small and nimble and being able to kind of take advantage of some of those niche opportunities. Because when you run an ad or even when you run a post, you can choose what demographic sees it. It's very hyper. And so start digging into those little hyper, you know, niches or demographic details that you can kind of focus in on, and start doing some beta testing on your own and figure out what works. And also, you can always poll your own, you know, customer base. If your existing customer base is a certain demographic, you know, has certain hobbies, you know, has certain behaviors, well, more than likely your online demographic is still that same audience. And we talked about this yesterday, I think it was, where remember to whatever you're doing offline, you should mirror that online. And so take some of those pieces and use it when you're, you know, conducting your ads or even writing your posts.
That's good. That's good. So, actually, I was watching an ad one time. I was on a webinar, and an ad came up on my Facebook page that was relevant to the webinar that I was on. And so as soon as I got off of the webinar, I clicked on the ad to go see what it was. And it was an invitation to come to a conference that was in Chicago, which is far away from where I live. It was very expensive. It was pertinent to the topic that I was studying at the time. And I actually ended up going to that conference. It was a three-day conference. I had to fly to Chicago. I had to stay in a hotel that was $300 a night. I had to pay about $2,000 to go to the conference. And I couldn't believe I actually did it. I found it off of a Facebook ad. And then I went back again the second time, a year later. So if you think that those Facebook ads don't ever get any clicks and you can't sell high-ticket items on them, think again, because you can. I also have another friend who runs a video on the ad. So when you click on the ad, it actually starts playing a video. It runs for a very long time. I'm not sure exactly how long, but he's selling a $6,000 coaching program on it. And I asked him the other day if he was having a very high conversion ratio on that. And he said, believe it or not, yes, he was. And I said, how are you getting people to watch those videos off of an ad? And he said, once the video starts, they just get mesmerized and they love it. And they just keep watching it. And then if they're interested in the topic that he's offering, then they click through and take the next action. And eventually they end up coming to his house. And he helps them get started doing whatever it is that he does in that class. So I've been amazed that advertising like that on social media actually does work. It is really amazing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, your audience is there. That's the nice thing about Facebook is that your audience is captive, and most of us have it on our phone. We have it on our tablet. We have it on our computer. It's at our fingertips all the time, and you really can't say that about many things, but for sure you can definitely say that about Facebook.
That's right, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about what you've got going on in your world right now with social media. You're on your way to an event, but let me know what else you're – tell us what you're doing, some of your projects.
I got to say that audio and video are just very, very hot. Podcasting is becoming more and more popular. I've been podcasting since 2005, and at that time there was a big rush, and then there was this kind of this lull for a few years, and in the last probably 18 months to 2 years, all of a sudden there's another kind of podcast rush, and you're getting all of these folks that are trying podcasting for the first time, and the popularity of it has really, really gone up. There's statistics coming from Edison and from Pew Research all supporting this growth of podcasting, and it has a lot to do with the fact that nowadays, because of things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO Now and Pandora and Spotify and all these platforms that allow us to, you know, skip interruptions. So we're looking at a new consumer base that is wanting to consume content without interruptions. So how do advertisers and marketers, how are they supposed to reach that audience? And one of the ways is to support, you know, independent programming like podcasts or video shows and to become a part of that and do that native advertising, or what I like to call the Paul Harvey model. Before you know it, you know, for those of us that remember, Paul Harvey would be telling all these stories in his program, and then out of nowhere, it would not be a story. It would be an ad for something, but you'd never minded that it was an ad because it was just part of his overall show. And so the real thing here is native advertising, where the host either reads prepared content and or just talks about their own experience with the product and offers perhaps a coupon or discount code for their listener base to either, you know, try the product and or if it's an event to get a discount off the purchase of an event. There's any number of ways that you can do it. And that's one thing. So we're looking at consumers wanting non-disruptive content. So they want to consume that and they don't want to be interrupted by a big commercial that's an obvious commercial. They prefer kind of that native advertising model of the host kind of it just being a seamless part of the show. And so audio and video are really hot. You know, video is number one when it comes to multimedia content, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's anywhere else, it's definitely hot and it's just going to continue to be. So podcast is definitely coming up and coming, and it's a very low barrier to entry, and it's also something that has so much room to grow. And people can really make their mark still. So that's really what's going on in my world, is that the projects that I'm working on with clients are really all related to podcasting and live video events.
Okay. Well, and what you said is so true about people not wanting to be interrupted. Interruption marketing does not work as much now as it did years ago. I have watched so many years worth of TV with commercials every 15 minutes. That I do not want to watch TV now at all. I cannot watch it. The only way I could watch TV is if you TiVo through the commercials, which my daughter has on her computer, on her TV. But to just sit down and watch a straight TV show, I absolutely cannot do it. I don't like to listen to the radio because there are commercial interruptions. So I listen to Pandora, which does have a few, but you can get past those. And I've been amazed at how I have become so impatient when commercial breaks, advertisements appear. I almost become like irate sometimes. But now people do like to shop. So that means that you can still do advertising with social media because they do like to shop, but they don't like to be sold. But what I've found here lately is they don't want to be interrupted. So if you use what we call relationship marketing, where you build a relationship with the client first and you find out what they need and you develop a conversation with them, you invite them in, and then you help them solve their problem by offering them some type of service or product or whatever that's going to fix things, then they will buy it. But to just jump out in front of people and interrupt them is not working like it used to, I don't think. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I don't mind paying for Pandora. I don't mind paying for Netflix. I don't mind paying for Amazon Prime. I don't mind paying for the services if I can get the content the way that I want to get the content and not be interrupted. But like you said, I don't mind someone giving me information that can be relevant to me, in which case that I'm like, cool, that's great. You know, so I think that's really the big key, is that when you're focusing in, you're hyper-focusing in on a segment, and then you're maybe talking to them about a product or a service in that segment, I've already pre-qualified myself by saying I'm interested in this segment, this topic, this industry. Whereas with traditional advertising, I could be watching something on TV, and they may try and sell me a car. They may try and sell me a drug. They may try and sell me a mattress. They may try and sell me 10 different things of which I have no interest in. However, if it's in something I'm interested in, then, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing it. And that's really the key here. We don't want to be interrupted by things that we don't want, but we don't mind being interrupted by things that we do want. So if that's a tricky thing. I don't envy the advertising folks, the marketing folks. It's definitely a challenge. But for the user base, I think it's a golden age.
Absolutely. I think you're right on. Well, and I am so excited about learning more about social media from you, and also our upcoming conference in Louisville, Kentucky on August 12th and 14th. We're going to have a lot of experts there who are going to share a lot of other topics with us besides just social media. And so I'm excited about what you're going to share there. My local resident social media expert, give us a little hint about what you're going to be sharing at our conference coming up.
I really want to just encourage folks to not be afraid to jump in, to go ahead and baby step your way in. It's okay. You don't have to be it doesn't have to be the end all be all. Try a few things, you know, try doing some audio, see how you like it. Try doing some video. And some of the things that I like to do, as you know, Ray, is I like to be very hands-on. And so I like to have that show and tell and bring people up on stage. And we do kind of like this, you know, social media brain jam, you know, where we just ask what their challenge is and or what project they're working on. And really quickly, the audience jumps in and we give them a bunch of ideas on how they can use social media to move their project forward or to solve some of the challenges that they're facing. And so that's something that folks can look forward to, is being part of the interactive, collective part of the entire audience.
That's excellent. I cannot wait to see your presentation. And also our keynote this year is Joel Salatin. He is America's prophet for farming. He is going to be talking about 10 ways to monetize a small farm, and I cannot wait to hear him again. If you haven't heard of Joel Salatin, S-A-L-A-T-I-N, go on YouTube and type in his name, search for him during a TED Talk, and watch one of his sessions. He is absolutely a phenomenal speaker. He is so much fun, very articulate, very conservative, and he's going to bring a presentation with pictures in it of his farm where he actually has apprentices, and they make just way more money than most farms do. So if you're interested in having a small farm whatsoever, or a garden even, or you want to throw out a couple chickens in the backyard or a couple goats, and you'd love to live out just a little bit away from the norm, from the city, then look at coming to hear Joel Salatin, because he's a remarkable speaker. We also have a couple other speakers that are going to be talking about 17 different ways to monetize your small business. We have a guy who is one of our members in Educating for Success, who's a homeschool dad in Minnesota, who is selling books primarily on Amazon and making a tremendous amount of money. He's into the seven figures now and has seven children. And his wife was sick this past year for about 2 months with a pregnancy. And he had to take care of the children, homeschool them, and keep the business running. And he did very, very well. So we're excited about having him come and share his system with us. We also have John Childers, who's going to be talking to us about the world's most profitable legal career, which is public speaking. He's been doing it for quite a few years. He's basically retired, but he loves our organization, and so we dragged him out of retirement. He's going to be sharing some of his tips and secrets about how to get paid to talk. We have one of my friends coming from the UK who's going to be talking about membership sites, which is one of the ways that I have made money through the years. We believe in multiple streams of income. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so he's going to be talking about how to do that. He actually owns one of the platforms that you use for hosting your membership site, an all-in-one kind of deal. We also have another friend of mine who's from Germany, who actually lives in Arizona, but he's from Germany. He's one of those success stories. Came to America without anything and did the rags to riches kind of story. And so he's going to be talking about how to buy and sell land. Also, my black son, he's not really my black son, is going to be doing a non-denominational service for us on Sunday, and he's going to be telling his story as well. I believe he's probably in his 40s or 50s. I think his 50th birthday is coming up. I'm not sure. But he has never had a job in his entire life, lives in New Orleans, and has a remarkable story. And so he's going to be sharing that and during his service on Sunday. We have a lot more. We have several sponsors that I'll tell you about next week. And we've got several other speakers that we've got that are going to be coming and talking about all of the different ways that we love making money on the Internet. And so if you are sitting there thinking, I am stuck in Atlanta traffic, which I have just been for the last, 2 hours. I came through here on a Friday at 5 o'clock, which is a crazy thing to do. And you hate that commute, just think that you don't have to do this. Not everybody in the whole world has a job. I don't have a job. Jennifer doesn't have a job. We are not stuck commuting in traffic all the time. If that kind of lifestyle is driving you crazy and you want to get out of it, you totally can. Our home business conference is only held once a year. This year it's in Louisville, Kentucky. We'd love to have you come. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to educatingforsuccess.com/2016HVC and get all the details there. You're going to love it. Jennifer, I can't wait to see you in Louisville.
It's going to be fantastic, Ray. It's really been fun co-hosting the show with you this week. I know next week it's going to be even better, and I look forward to continuing to listen to all the golden nuggets that you're going to be sharing up through the Home Business Conference.
Yes, it's going to be great. So thank you so much for co-hosting with me this week. It's been so fun, and thank you for teaching me how to do this, because actually that's what we're doing here. We're just figuring it out as we go, but I know I'm learning from a master, so I appreciate you sharing so much of your expertise with me on this podcast. So can't wait to see you again in Louisville and to be able to enjoy helping people change their lives by learning how to start a business. So thanks for joining us, Jennifer. Great having you here. And thank you all for joining us. This has been Ray Perry at Educating for Success.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.